All right, this is The Undertaker, and now you're listening to The Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for January 28th. Happy holidays today. There's a lot of them. Data Privacy Day. Interesting holiday there. Data Privacy Day. I'm sure it becomes more and more as we go into the future that people have problems with data privacy. Fun at Work Day. Hopefully you guys aren't at work today, but if you are, I hope you're having a good time. National Kazoo Day and National Seed Swap Day. Birthdays today. There's just a couple wrestling birthdays today. Shark Boy is 48. Sheamus is 45. And New Japan Pro Wrestling Sonata is 35. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. If you're into roller derby, check out Rochester Roller Derby, Rock City Roller Derby. Want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, Flower City Fear, they're kicking everything off next Sunday. Check out Flower, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, The Cashman. I'm joined, of course, I couldn't do this without my guys. We got Danger Boy from Gates, New York. Danger, how are you doing today?
Can't complain. Happy Royal Rumble Day.
Happy Rumble. It's been a long time since we've had the good old Big Show for the Royal Rumble. We got DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how are you doing today?
Just fine. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. And Rob Sanderson, the artiste. Updates all free. We got the artiste this week. How you doing, Rob?
Good morning. Actually, I did just have an update. If you're talking about Zoom updates, I did get one just now.
Yeah, so those are quicker.
I was a little nervous the same thing was going to happen, but made it.
Those were much quicker than the Microsoft ones that come out that take like 45 minutes, even on a fast connection. So welcome to the show.
Well, now this one's got all these like new logos and look to it.
You see those things all down the edge there, the apps and stuff. It's like, what? I don't know. I haven't played too much around with it. I'm a very basic Zoom user, but thank goodness we have Zoom, or who knows what this show would be like. We all be on like the phone, and this is much.
As long as we don't have to watch the show Zoom that I used to have to watch my little brother all the time on PBS back in the day. I don't know if any of you had to do that.
I love Zoom. Are you kidding me?
Boston, send it to Zoom.
Yeah, Boston, yeah. Mass. 02134. Send it to Zoom.
We're off and running. We are off and running.
You started it. Welcome to the show. Yeah.
Well, I am so confused right now.
Right here.
Well, yes, it just. But Rob, you're not even older than Danger, so it's like. But nevertheless, we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling today. It is Royal Rumble Saturday. We got two rumbles today. Of course, we don't encourage betting, but it does happen. And
yeah,
bet like crazy. Why not?
Because bet responsibly.
It's legal. It's legal in this state now.
That's true.
Speaking of betting, I got to check on my Turkish basketball league result.
All right. I guess once the Bills are out of it, that's you fall back to foreign basketball leagues or something. But welcome to the show today. We got a lot. I'm glad, Rob, you're with us today, because you really did not get to do it. Last week, we spent the first half hour talking about Jay Briscoe and his impact on the sport, as well as his unfortunate passing away last week. And we didn't really get a chance to talk to you about it, but there, you know, we got more. I mean, I figure we'll start the show off talking about the Briscoe tribute this week. We got an AEW Dynamite and maybe how that happened, because why it didn't happen the week before. And just what a wonderful thing. I mean, I got a little teary there at the end, to be honest with you, when Mark was running around and, you know, they gave him a mic there at the end. But, yeah, finally, you know, it's like we mentioned last week, I think, that Warner Brothers had the no Briscoe rule with the AEW and they waived it. Maybe they found out what kind of guy he really was like that past week after that. I don't know. I know that Tony Khan fought for it heavily. That's what we heard. And we got the tribute at the end of the show. We got the tribute at the beginning of the show last week. Rob, just because we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, how are your thoughts on Jay Briscoe and his impact on, obviously Ring of Honor tag champion currently. But, you know, just, you know, the 20 years of Ring of Honor and stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tribute did a really good job of capturing his personality. It's such a tragedy. And obviously we've seen a variety of causes of death in the wrestling world and stuff. And just to think that, you know, some driver's quick little mistake like that has caused so much damage. It's just awful. I think he was an underrated wrestler, especially on the single side of things. One half of one of the absolute best tag teams, ever, really. And I think I'm really happy that they got the chance to shine in the past year, even though it wasn't on, you know, national TV per se, but they got mentioned on that, and the Ring of Honor matches there with FTR were incredible. I think back to those early days of ROH and seeing some of those clips these past couple weeks of, you know, like bald or shaved head Jay and Mark at like teenagers, those first ROH shows that we go to and stuff. I know that a lot of people were upset that there wasn't more a week ago. I am not, just because it happened on a Tuesday night. Dynamite's on a Wednesday night. There's the issues there with Warner Brothers, which luckily they got solved. It's too bad that that wasn't a quick turnaround on that. But like the incredible video package they aired this week, I'm sorry, like you can't put that together in like one overnight out of nowhere, especially if it's all footage from like not your own company and stuff. I mean, luckily they've got the guy that put it together had been on ROH's staff for a couple of years and now working for AEW, so he kind of knew what to look for. But I just thought it was really well done. And in a way it kind of spaced it out over a couple weeks of tributes for him. But I love seeing all the clips, because I mean he literally was that like that warm guy that was like always looked like he was so happy to see you, and he gave that look to every single person that he like crossed paths with, and just countless laughs to everybody around. You know, fortunate that, you know, obviously all the ROH matches, they had a brief run as two CW tag champs, and worked quite a bit in PWU when I was living down in Philly and stuff. And I just, there's a lot of memories like that, but I don't know. It's tough to process. I mean, especially seeing the picture of like his girls, like holding each other's hand in the hospital and stuff. And like, it's hard to believe in a way, but I give credit to Tony Khan in what he did to fight for that to happen. I think the match, I was nervous the match wasn't going to be the main event on Wednesday. That was absolutely the right call for it to be. And I just, I know I'm saying a lot here, but like Mark handled everything and continues to handle everything so inspiringly well. Like, I can't believe how positive he can be in this situation. I mean, it's his brother, it's his best friend, it's his tag partner, everything. And the strength that he's shown through this and what he's said on camera and the way he handled himself with that match, it was tough to watch. I mean, especially when that ringside camera was right up against him and he talked to Jamin, like, into the camera and stuff. And, I mean, it was really well done. Props to Jay Lethal as well. I thought he did a great job with that. And, it's terrible.
Yeah. A couple of things stand out, I think, in that video package was him pinning KO for the title.
World title.
Yeah, yep. And we saw that on AEW TV. And also, you know,
I think Kevin came out and said on Twitter something along the lines of that being like his favorite moment as champion in ROH or something like that. Like being able to drop that title to Jay Briscoe meant a lot to Kevin Steen.
Yeah, I saw Sami Zayn also commented on AEW Dynamite this past week, saying that what a wonderful tribute it was that they put up. I give him a lot of credit. I don't know if you saw Matt Taven's video where Matt Taven talked about going to Mexico and bringing an extra briefcase or extra suitcase with him so he could steal this 5-story tall Jay Briscoe banner that they unveiled out of an apartment window. And Jay was coming along and he was just like, that was good. I don't know if you've seen the video, but as fan, it was Dalton Castle posted it as well, 'cause he was there. What a great thing, you know. It was like a 5-story picture of Jay, you know, Jay Briscoe. It was just,
it makes me think of the huge banner that Huber had from Japan as well. I don't know how these people get these gigantic banners printed, but yeah, Matt Taven bought an extra suitcase in Mexico just so he could bring that back. And then after they had rolled it, they're just like, oh, this is going to suck to roll back up.
Yeah.
But totally worth it.
They were like on the third or fourth floor of their apartment, hanging it to the ground. So it was huge. It was, and then Jay walks by, of course, and, you know, they must have called him and told him to come out and look up, and it was like, it was fantastic. But what about you, Danny and Danger? What did you think about the tribute? I mean, the match was incredible. That, you know, there's that one shot where Mark jumped on Jay when he was on the table, where I swear to God, it looked
like Froggy Bow.
Yeah, it looked like he was flying. Oh my God, I don't know how high he went.
It was like slow motion in the air. Yeah,
it was insane. What did you guys think?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. The video package was awesome. The best parts of the video package are him with his family. So, I mean, it shows you what kind of guy he was, and I'm glad that his daughters are doing better. The match itself, I have no idea how either one of those guys kept it together for actually put together a match, especially when Jay Lethal was balling before the match started.
Yeah.
But all the props in the world to them. I have no idea how they did it, but it was a really good match. They actually drew really good ratings for that match. They usually lose a bit in their final segment. They gained a bunch this week, and I'm glad they were able to do it. I'm glad that Tony Khan wore down the Warner Media people enough to get that done.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad they did get to do something like that. And if you would have told me going into that main event that Mark would have been more composed than Jay, I never would have believed you. You know, I think pretty much all of us here have a brother. Like, I wouldn't be able to handle myself that way, you know, 1 week later. So kind of like what RT said, you know, the poise and character his brother has shown throughout all of this, the way he's handling it, it's unreal.
Yeah, you know, they're very religious. I didn't realize that. And I think that's what he kind of said. He's like, I'm not going to see him tomorrow, but I'll see him again, you know. And I mean, and then maybe Warner Brothers kind of realized when the school started posting how involved these guys were with their kids in the school and about how, what a shock, you know, what, you know, they closed the school for the day because of what happened. But he would, you know, they said that they would go in, and I remember hearing a story about them sliming the principal and just being involved, you know, in their church and also their school. And I think maybe Warner Brothers had changed their mind just based on that fact one tweet 12, 15 years ago is not going to dictate, especially when you're a heel, You know, I mean, you're supposed to be like the bad guy when, you know, and he, and listen, Jay played it both ways, but I mean, he was the best heel champ, I think, of Ring of Honor, one of the best ones. He definitely was there when they needed somebody. And, you know, he was, you know, I was always a fan. I loved it when they gave him the run because the run at champ. I thought they'd almost get, you know, it's like, it was just exciting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is like, I hate that it's under these circumstances and stuff, but I mean, as sad as that was and everything with the main event, it was so good to see Mark getting that chance, like to main event Dynamite and to get that reaction from the crowd and nailed it. I mean, the match, to me, that match was perfect for what they were going for. There were no flubs. Like you said, the table spot was awesome. The crowd was into it. And I mean, that's the thing too, is like, you know, I'm sure the same way with a lot of the viewers, but like AEW crowds in person, like are a little more, I would say, like in tune with the product than like casual fans that'll go to a WWE show where they'll get a bigger draw, but that's people that watch it here and there and stuff. But like, I just, the whole crowd like gave the respect and seemed to know who these guys are and everything. And it was really cool to see Mark get to have that moment. It just sucks, obviously, that these are the circumstances, and it's kind of early to think about it, but I am definitely curious, you know, what they end up doing with the tag titles and all of that. And I hope it's not the last time that we see Mark on AEW TV. I don't think it will be, but you can't put all of that together the following night. So I think the way it all worked out was good. You know, obviously credit that they still, that day after, they still taped all these matches for the special that they released this week that I've been kind of watching in increments. It's 3 hours long. But they did that the next day, flew in people the day of, all that stuff, and tried to do what they could. I thought overall it was well done. And, you know, hopefully they find ways, everybody finds ways to continue to keep his memory alive and all of that. And obviously really nice too to, you know, the mention on NXT, Michael Cole's mention on SmackDown, you know, armbands by guys in WWE and stuff, like, you see it all over the place. And it sucks that these are the moments that are what brings like the whole wrestling community together. But, in a way, through these tragedies, it's nice to at least see that and to see kind of a little bit of the realism and the family aspect of that. And like these guys that like all work together, maybe in ROH, and now they're 10 years later in different companies and stuff like that, but they still have those bonds and those memories. And you can tell how much Jay meant to a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. And he was instrumental in a lot of, in elevating people in Ring of Honor. And a lot of these elevated people are champions of elsewhere. So,
Seth Rollins said that Tyler Black probably doesn't become Seth Rollins without Jay Briscoe and everything they went through back in the day with, in his Age of the Fall days and stuff. And
he mentioned that he didn't even have a contract until Jay Briscoe brought them in or whatever. He's the one who was instrumental in him getting that contract with Ring of Honor. So, there's just so much influence. And it's like, it's funny how, you know, if you think about the world of pro wrestling in the main event, there's what, maybe 50 people that, you know, are like mid card and up, and how many of them have come through shows like Impact and Ring of Honor to get to that point. And then, you know, so it's so influential. These guys, you know, they build their pyramid on the best wrestlers as they go and make their way up. And it's like, and like you said, Seth Rollins, there's a, you know, Kevin Owens, all these guys, you know, it's like, so, you know, it's a shame, and it's a shame it had to go, it's a shame, you know, I mean, car accidents, terrible way, both drivers lost their lives. You know, I think there'll be more tributes and stuff as we go on. I couldn't believe last week on SmackDown that Kevin Owens had the armband on as he was destroying the bloodline at the end of the show. So, but I'm glad I felt, you know, it was kind of, it was very hard to, and you could tell Jay Lethal at the end of that match when he was on the ramp, you know, was just losing it, you know, because, you know, the cameras ran up to him, and I think he was getting protected by Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt, kind of, so that the cameras weren't in his face, because definitely, like, a lot, you know, was, you know, having a tearful moment when with Mark in the ring and Mark running around in the crowd. Yeah, unbelievable crowd into it. You know,
and it's so cool to see things like Dalton Castle and people like literally sitting in the front row for that match, just cheering it on, like fans, like a lot of cool moments like that with it. So yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, the actual ROH relaunch hasn't really happened yet. And now Jay's gone, and it's hard to picture that relaunch without the Briscoes.
Yeah.
It really is, but luckily, at least, you know, we're at a point where ROH is owned by somebody, and Tony did what he could, you know, to pay tribute to this guy. And so we'll see where it goes from here. Like I said, I really hope, you know, I think it's always got to be tough if you're, you know, say you're Mark Briscoe and like your brother wins the world title and you don't, and things like that. And I hope that, you know, through all of this, it's a chance for Mark to kind of shine now and not be the little brother, but like, you know, carry on that legacy and everything. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a push. It seems like that's the kind of thing that should happen, you know, if they ever get a regular TV. I mean, I know they're going to the Honor Club to do TV shows and stuff like that. So that being said, I don't think, like, the tributes are over, like I said a minute ago, but we probably should carry
on. Well, yeah, and they posted that tribute show on Honor Club and for free on YouTube. So, like I said, I've been going through and watching it in increments just to try to – there's a mix of matches they taped last week in Fresno and then some classic Briscoe's matches mixed in with interview clips, you know, those tribute-style clips of – guys sharing their memories and stuff. Samoa Joe's really emotional of his and stuff. Like, it's definitely check that out. It's been really good from what I've seen so far.
Or just go back to the last pay-per-view they did too and watch that four dog collar match with Harwood and Wheeler there.
I've been planning on rewatching that trilogy anyway, and so now I definitely will watch all three of those matches back soon.
Yeah, so wow. So let's move on, talk about something else. Last week was the Raw 30th anniversary, you know, on Monday night. It was on Monday night. You know, this is Royal Rumble week. We mentioned it a little earlier. So it's like eventually there's going to be a Rumble Royal type of confrontation, I'm guessing. But they start the show this past week on Raw 30th with Hulk Hogan coming out. With a bad mic, apparently.
Somebody on purpose gave him a faulty microphone.
Yeah. He had a bad
mic. Oh, darn.
Yeah, he had a bad mic, and it's what? You know what he's going to say. You could probably script it out before he ever walks out. Know exactly, you know, he's got
couple the brothers, what you going to do?
Yeah.
Hulkamaniacs.
Yeah, exactly.
A cheap shot to, like, oh, the Philadelphia Eagles, shut up.
Yeah. Shut up. Yeah, maybe Hogan's the one who put the 49ers jersey on Rocky. I don't know. I'm just, you know. but so it starts off with Hulk Hogan. I mean, listen, they did do well in the ratings. It did draw, but who was, like, special there that came out? Who wasn't, that hadn't been there maybe at the Raw 25th anniversary or the, you know, these other Raw things they do all the time? I mean, in fact, if anything, it was less people that were involved. There was, you know, the gambling room in the back. We got, you know, a dam and, you know, I don't know. It just, I think that they
I'm still waiting for WWE to understand how anniversaries work.
Yeah, they hang their hat on these old, the guys they bring back every time. And it's like, what's special? Shawn Michaels works. Yeah,
they had just brought Angle back recently anyway. They've done 4,000 DX reunions.
Yeah.
And it's stuff you mentioned, like the 25th anniversary. Like, I remember, like, complaining about that, but that was so much cooler with at least, like, the Manhattan Center and the group of people they had. Obviously, Scott Hall was still around, all that stuff. But, like, it seemed like that one, like, they did more with, like, the venue and the look and, like, all this stuff. This one, it was like, oh, we're coming back from commercial. Here's a clip of an old Raw theme with a couple pictures.
Yeah.
And here's an Austin Theory match or whatever. Like, what? Like, I didn't like it at all. I did watch it. I was hoping it was going to be
something
nostalgic in a way from like when I liked watching Raw, but no.
It was the first time I had tuned into Raw in I don't know how long.
Same.
In aside from the trial of Sami Zayn, the show was awful.
The good thing about that was probably the best part of the show. It started the show. It kind of killed because of that and the length it took. We didn't get the promised Bayley versus Becky cage match that was supposed to happen right after it. Instead, we got a beatdown. How would you like to be like the guys on the road who built that cage and everything, and they don't use it? And it's like,
how is that the thing that gets like time cut though? Like whether it's like other segments or men's matches, or honestly, like this wouldn't be the popular opinion, but like cut the other women's match or something. You have a steel cage there, and like you're like, what? Who makes
or
that
cut
call?
The stupid
like, yeah, that's
10
what we're gonna get rid
DX
of.
DX segment setting up a match.
Yeah, the DX segment. Ugh, yeah. Danger.
I love the Sami Zayn thing. The trial of Sami Zayn and the tag match afterwards were some of the best stuff they've done in a very long time. And that's why they got the ratings. It wasn't, you know, no one stuck around to watch DX do their stupid stuff for 10 minutes. I'm sad they cut that cage match, but if they were only going to give us another 5 minutes before that beatdown anyways, I'm glad they cut the cage match. If they're going to build it for another day, save it for another day. Because I don't think neither one of those women are going to be in the title picture after tonight anyways, going towards WrestleMania. I think it's going to be a Rhea Ripley. So...
Right, but it's still a bad look that that match is something they hung their hat on for the past week to promote Raw 30.
Or more than a week, yeah.
This also wouldn't be popular, but like I would have rather cut that main event. And
I think that main event did get cut. I think that main event got cut down quite a lot because it went off the air very abruptly.
Yeah, they said that they had to take a little bit from all the segments after that because of them going long, but...
So the DX segment was supposed to be longer?
I hope not. Listen, I love Kurt Angle doing the goof, okay? Don't get me wrong, you know, but
your show that's been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
You're on like major broadcast television.
It's 3 hours long.
Right. You have 3 hours to do this, and you have people who've been doing this every week. Why can't you time out segments to be like, hey guys, 1 minute, wrap it up or whatever. Like, you give these cues in matches and stuff, or there was that match with John Cena calling out, like, have John Cena there being like yelling out stuff, like, all right, guys, 1 more minute, like, let's wrap this up. Like, you're hitting your time, you're over, whatever. Like,
telling Roman Reigns what to do. Yeah, I love that.
And I understand, I mean, I guess it almost even like crazier to me that it happens like during like a segment that goes long instead of a match.
Yeah, you know what it was?
Don't, like somebody's got to take control of that in the back.
Well, they had the crowd in their hand. I think. I mean, that's, and the crowd was loud, and they were like they were taking in the fans because that's why they paused. There was a big pause when the crowd was just getting nuts loud. And I think, you know, I mean, the whole Heyman part of the trial and everything kind of, I think, probably dragged on much longer than they were expecting. But
again, to RT's point, how after 30 years of doing this, do they not know to account for stuff like that? Philly, you know the crowd's going to be hot.
Well, you think Dunn's in the back going, this is good stuff, we're going to keep it going, this is good. I've been in radio before where we've done that, where we're like, okay, we're supposed to break, but we're going to go because this is like hot, we're hot. We got the crowd right now.
You can't do that when you have so much crammed in there. Like, I guess, I mean, hindsight's 2020. Obviously, things happen. I get all that. But, like, maybe you should have, like, written down that it was going to get more time in the first place because this is your hottest angle and it was going to be a big part of the show and it was really good and all that stuff. Like, just plan for that.
Yeah.
But, if that was, like, if this happened in back when there was a one-hour, like, impact or something, fine. But 3 hours? Figure it out.
No, true. And, you know, I meant to mention that wasn't DX on just a couple months ago where they did the same bit in the beginning of the show where they were, and Billy Gunn wasn't there. And so, you know, they went to,
I don't even want to call them DX at this point.
Yeah, it's whatever. Well, I mean, you know,
I loved DX back in the day and I can't stand these reunion segments.
Cause what, Triple H can act
so
like
cheesy,
an airhead.
They're so like, no.
Well, at least they had Kurt Angle.
What would the kids say today? It was cringe.
Cringe. They at least they had Kurt Angle to make a little humor in it, because they were going to Billy Gunn and then they realized Kurt Angle followed. I was wondering why Kurt Angle followed him out. It's like, what's Kurt Angle following him out for? Because he's going to be the comic relief of the part, you know? And it was, yeah, I mean, maybe the answer,
everybody wants to be the comic relief.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
maybe the answer to this isn't easy, but like, how are there not other people to bring back? Like, at this, like, I understand we lost a lot of people from over those 30 years and stuff, but there have to be some like different people out there that you could bring back to like make people care.
Like the Bellas. Like,
I don't want to watch people like fake playing poker backstage and stuff like that. Like, yeah, there's gotta be more to it.
You remember the beginning of Raw when DDP was, oh, wait a second, he never was there. I was like, why is DDP there? I mean, if any, there's no significance of him on Raw. Okay. Why don't you know?
He probably had many more matches on Raw than Hulk Hogan did. Yeah, say that.
That's true. But it's like, I mean, it's funny.
Hulk Hogan had like one complete singles match in the history of Raw, but let's start it with him.
Yeah. You know, but it's, you know, and you're right. And there's other people. And I know Mick Foley was asked to do it and he couldn't do it. And that would have been better than any of those guys. You know,
why?
Yeah.
My biggest beef of this whole thing, why did anyone think, I don't care that you brought The Undertaker back, even though it's only been a year since he retired.
The Biker Taker. It was the Biker Taker.
Bring back the Biker Taker.
The Biker Taker.
How have you not figured out in the 20 years since he was doing that, that his motorcycle never starts when he's trying to go back up the ramp?
Yeah.
And it's always going to cause an issue.
Yeah. Man, that was...
That was like the one part of the show where I was like, okay, this is cool, because like, I haven't seen the entrance with this song in forever. Like, I liked that decision for that, as opposed to the same old long Taker dark purple entrance stuff. True. Like,
it's much faster on a motorcycle, you know, playing American Badass. So
it's not much faster with his motorcycle, though, when he's got to pedal the thing down with his feet because it's not running.
It was a weird looking bike, too. I've never seen one that wide before. I mean, goodness gracious. That was, you know, it was definitely, him and kind of like they, you know, people kind of said he was like passing the torch to Bray Wyatt. It's like,
apparently when he left, he told Vince to take care of Bray. So he's been a big fan of Bray since the start. So whatever he said to Bray, it kind of was him passing the torch to him.
Yeah, I know.
However, the star of that segment and the star of this whole thing so far has been LA Knight, who is actually getting over despite being against Bray Wyatt, going against everything that's going around about how none of the big stars want to work with him because you can't get over. LA Knight's doing it because he can talk.
He is doing the same thing he did at Impact Wrestling.
100%.
He completely just changed over and is now completely doing the Impact Wrestling bit that he, when he had the dummy switch. I'm waiting for him to come out with a dummy switch because he's doing it. I mean, he's like, you know, and good for him. But yeah, he came out on, you know, Biker Taker came out, then Bray. And I think that was an interesting segment. But like if you saw last night's SmackDown, you saw LA Knight come out doing the original Bray Wyatt. Wyatt family introduction song with the shorts and the Hawaiian shirt top. I don't know if you saw that last night, but
yeah,
that you know, it's like everyone thought it was Bray because then the fireflies showed up and everything, and then you realize it was LA Knight coming out to steal, you know, and maybe kind of burying it, because we just saw this. You guys just sent me this video from TikTok where Bray Wyatt talked about the end of The Fiend was after Brody Lee died. He said that
the end of Cult Leader Bray is after Brody died.
Yeah.
Fiend was at that WrestleMania match where Alexa Bliss started puking black goo.
And then kind of like the thing raised up in WrestleMania. Yeah. I don't know what that
box like structure. That was a box. Thanks, Michael Cole.
Michael Cole was terrible last night, by the way. He was stumbling over his words and stuff. It was
not as much as the Miz was.
Does he have a beer gut?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I always thought, like, he was relatively in shape. And then, like, when I saw him get up from the announce table, I'm like, is he, like, wearing a suit? Like a keg or something? Like,
he's really enjoying himself since Vince is gone.
Yeah, he doesn't got Vince in his ear anymore. But he was stumbling all over the words last night. If you go back and watch that, he had a real difficult time on that show last night. Maybe a guy got rewritten while the show was
not going like good. The Miz did, saying chip on his shoulder though.
Yeah, oh well.
It was probably working with McAfee that like got him back into the like let's go out every night scene or something.
If Mac brought his wife with him, that'd be fine. She's a fine woman.
I'm sure McAfee is going to be on tonight. That's one of my surprise guesses is McAfee.
So. Oh, you think McAfee? But what would you think about the you know now we're kind of transitioning to. From Raw 30th, and I did mention the Bella Twins briefly and kind of like did a mumbly chant or mumbly laugh there because they apparently were supposed to be on the show. They flew them there, and then they didn't agree because they wouldn't announce, they wouldn't talk about the era of women's wrestling that they came from, which was with Saraya and a bunch of people who don't work for the company anymore, Monet. And
you mean everyone they claim to love? Fact that they would steal TV time from everybody because they had to be on TV.
Yeah. The ones who threatened to quit. These are the Bella Twins who threatened to quit the company unless they put them on TV. And they actually went through
and got rid of Maurice.
Yeah, and they got rid of.
I mean, everybody can name their favorite Bella Twins match. I can't name a match.
Hey, listen,
remember that time they worked a tag match at a house show here? That's about it.
That's right. They're right in front of us. Yeah.
Can we be honest? The lasting legacy of the Bellas to me is always going to be, I wish you died in the womb.
Yeah, that, or I think I'm more interested in the story of listening to their theme song 57 times on a trip.
51. Yeah. Let's not make it worse than it was. Okay. Yeah.
or the growing up Bella vignettes.
Yeah. And Daniel and Brian Danielson married into that family. So it's like,
still always going to be the weirdest thing to me. Like how there's a connection between a Bella twin and Brian Danielson of all people, but
yeah, that's, you know, and, but so they were there, they didn't agree with what the segment was. And so they told them to stay in the hotel, you know, and they didn't use them, which is fine. I mean, I don't think of Raw 30 years. I don't think of the Bellas. They were like a blip on the radar. I know there's a lot of people who love them. You know, I know this guy's just in the chat room here. We got Mike and Richard and Eugene. They all love the Bella Twins. You can have the Bella Twins, okay? Keep them off
like,
TV.
Where's DX Tory? Like, let's let's come up with some other names that we can bring back. That like we haven't seen a million times. I don't need to see the Bellas.
Yeah, I mean, even Victoria, even though Victoria apparently showed up on Impact this past week, you know, I'm sure they probably possibly would have used Victoria. And let's see who shows up in the Royal Rumble tonight. I'm feeling like we mentioned last week, since Cody Rhodes was announced last week, that they feel they have bigger surprises. They have bigger surprises for the Royal Rumble tonight. So.
Do they though? Because they don't care about the surprise aspect of the Rumble anymore, and that's my biggest complaint. And I know I'm
Vince
not the
didn't
only
care
one.
About the surprise aspect.
Yeah.
Why? Like everybody assumed that Cody was going to be back for the Rumble. That was good enough. You should not have announced it. Like it just kills it. Like the pop is not going to be as big tonight as it would have been if his music just hit. Like even though people were expecting it, same type of thing with like. When CM whatever debuted in AEW, like you assumed it was going to happen, but you didn't like it wasn't announced and it was more fun that way. I hate like the Rumble to me was all about surprises. I don't want to know like barely anything in it. Like if you want to tell me like seven people or something that are in the match, fine. I don't even need that. But yeah. Like
they've done a much better job this year not telling you everybody in it though.
No, that's true. And they've taken people out of the graphic too and put them back in it and taken them out a couple times. So they're just keeping everybody but the thing about it too is last year was a no NXT rule about the Rumble, and so that could be changed this year. So we may, but NXT, I mean, who do we know in NXT? There's only a few people, you know,
Bron Breakker.
Yeah, Bron Breakker. I'm guessing Bron. You know, just seeing the news this past week that the Steiner brothers had signed legend contracts with WWE makes me think that that wasn't put out there as news for no reason this past week. So, I mean, who knows will be if there's any surprises. Mm-hmm. Big Papa Pump, that'd be fun.
I might be getting ahead of myself here.
Okay.
But is WWE in a position to have a repeat of Philly this year? If A, they don't put Sammy in the Rumble, or B, Sammy doesn't win the Rumble?
I don't know.
He's clearly the most over thing right now.
But I think they're going to put a cap on him being with them tonight somehow. it's gonna somehow, you know, and I've been thinking
he's about, on the poster for Elimination Chamber.
Okay, so this is what I was thinking, and now tell me if I'm crazy or not. This is overthinking it, but what if Owens wins tonight, and Sammy's instrumental in that, and then they were right the whole time about not trusting him, and then they become the super heels versus the super faces of the bloodline.
I don't think they would turn super heel.
You don't think they'd go super heel?
No, I think they'd be cheered.
Okay.
They'd be cheered for that, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, after what happened, you know, the way they left him hanging last week, Sammy's hanging there. They've done that, you know, a couple times where, you know, he's meant to be, you know, he thinks he did a good job, and then someone kind of takes it away from him. So they're taking away his glory the whole time. I think tonight we're going to get something definitive in the split there because
Solo throws him out of the Rumble or something.
I don't know if any of you saw the Tonight Show clip with Roman Reigns on it today at all, but last night Roman Reigns, Jimmy Fallon brought up it would be great to see you versus The Rock at WrestleMania, and then Roman Reigns proceeded to use The Rock's excuse that we heard that Rock didn't have time to get in wrestling ring shape. He said he's in great shape and everything, but he doesn't have that impact training yet. So I think if they're talking about it on national TV,
it's brought up for a reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It probably was a question fed to Jimmy Fallon last night. So if they're talking about The Rock and why he won't be at WrestleMania and it's on a national TV show, and that's why they said, you know, Roman Reigns wasn't at SmackDown last night. Obviously it wasn't. He was on Jimmy Fallon, but they don't tell us that they taped that show at 5 p.m. and he probably could have got there, I'm guessing. Maybe he could have by the time the show was off the air, but
hopefully they've got some big surprises. I mean, and I think they will. I don't know if we'll see The Rock or that. I mean, I like that some of the potential big ones aren't announced. Like if the glass shatters tonight in San Antonio, like that place will go wild.
Oh, that place will go nuts.
I'm expecting that.
But I just like some of my favorite Rumble moments were like when Diesel came back or random things like that. Like that's what I'm hoping for. It's stuff that I don't know about, stuff that I wouldn't even think about. You know, blast from the past, that kind of stuff. But
come on, Repo Man.
I feel like in recent years it's been more of like we have so many guys on the roster that we don't have enough room to squeeze in these random old gimmicks and stuff, and I don't know, that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I mean because we like I said because they keep changing the graphics for the match and putting people in and taking, like, for instance, Dom was taken off the poster or off the graphic yesterday or this past week. He's in the match because Rhea Ripley keeps saying he's in the match, but he was taken off the post. But there's a bunch of people that talked about it last night that aren't even on the list that they had put out, you know. So
let me tell you, I heard a joke this morning that I really want to happen now, which is Dom eliminating Brock Lesnar.
Oh no. Can you tell
them? I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to. I remember the feeling of being at the 2020 Rumble and Brock Lesnar just tearing through everybody. Like the first half of the match, he's eliminating everybody. And we're all standing there like, this is awful. Like enough. Like this is destroying this match. Like, yeah, you're making him look like dominant and stuff, but he just came back. And then like, he's just going to eliminate all these people who are big stars every week and stuff like that. I hope Lesnar does not last in the match very long.
Him and Lashley are taking each other out.
That's what I'm thinking. The two big guys are going to go over. But you know, I think that's kind of one thing about naming Cody Rhodes early on it too, is I don't think they want to have a guy who just reappears and like AKA John Cena and wins the Rumble that time when he was supposed to be hurt and he came back. Might remember that. I think they want, you know, the video packages have been amazing building up to his return and everything, and I think that I would rather him win knowing that he was going to be in there already than to have him surprise show up and, you know, dump almost out or something, you know, and then win it all. But yeah, almost, by the way,
I wish it was a surprise. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like if he hadn't been announced, then it would be a little more cool if and when he wins. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, a lot of people think Sammy's going to win. I feel like it's going to be Cody, which I'm fine with. It's just weird to see how they navigate the next couple months either way. And the thing that I hadn't thought about, so somebody mentioned it the other night, was the fact that like there was talk of like, oh, maybe it'll be Sammy and Kevin against the Usos or whatever, but you can't do that match in Montreal or Canada because the Usos aren't getting in there, or at least one of them. So that's unfortunate from a booking perspective, that that's not a possibility to do at Elimination Chamber. But no, I mean, I, in a perfect world, I would love to see the world title split and Cody gets one and Sammy gets one over the next couple months. Is that possible? I don't know. But
The rumors are they're going to split, because the rumored match was Cody versus Seth Rollins for the title at WrestleMania, which I have no idea how they would get to that point. But
yeah.
It's a good question.
I mean, it's going to mean a lot more. Whoever's the first person to beat Roman is going to mean a lot more than a second person if they do split it. But they absolutely should split them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I guess it would be like maybe the start of the downfall of Roman Reigns, but
maybe. The way I would do it is I would have him drop like the Raw title first or whatever, drop one of the titles and keep holding the other title for a while. And then it'll mean something when he drops that again, as opposed to him losing like both titles in one weekend or something like that. Like let him at least continue on like one of the Reigns for a while.
Have Cody win the Rumble, have Rollins defeat Reigns for one of the titles at Elimination Chamber with Sammy having cost him the match. And there you go. You got your two main event nights for WrestleMania.
Yeah, and we don't need Roman Reigns, you know, and the Rock would have to play a part in this too to take the diversion off.
I don't want the Rock to be a part of anything.
But I mean, I think he'd have to be titleless.
They don't need him.
I think he'd have to be titleless if the Rock comes back, so that's for more of
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, at this point, they can do whatever they want for Mania because it's already sold out.
True. But I mean, you know, they've been building this story with Sami Zayn for 9-10 months now. You know, and it looked like it was just going to be some simple blow off, like about 2 months into it. But people started getting behind.
It was supposed to only last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a shorty, you know, and. I don't know.
It's almost like there was a change in who was taking over the planning of things.
Just a little bit. I've seen a lot of things like today that when I was just researching the news today, saying that Sami Zayn could be the champion, but not the face of WWE. You know, they don't.
Because he said that.
He
straight up said that. Yeah. He did an interview with Ariel Helwani yesterday. He also said he doesn't think he'd be in this position if Vince was still in charge.
Well, Vince just moved
Why
back.
Why would he say that first part? Even if he thinks that, like if you're trying to be like a big star of the company, like don't put that thought into people's minds. I don't know. That's weird.
He said either, you know, you can call me a realist or maybe I'm just being self-depreciating, but he goes, I know what I am.
Yeah. And he gets a bigger pop than anybody else. And there for a long time, he helped the Bloodline get the pop they're getting now. You know, I mean, obviously they were getting boos. Now they're getting cheers. So, you know,
well, one way or another, he has to be a big, big part of the last couple minutes of Elimination Chamber. And that's either a huge hometown pop for him winning the belt, or that's the place ready to riot because of it, basically another screw job in Montreal. And I feel like WWE is more likely to go the second route, which maybe could then further build up a match for Mania or something like that too. But if he's not in a world title match and or an Elimination Chamber match in Montreal, it's the biggest mistake they'll make. Like, they have to do it. I want to have faith that he's going to be a big, big part of that. And so tonight you've got to at least like establish the groundwork or something of that. So yeah, I mean, I feel like he's got to be eliminated from the Rumble by Solo or somebody. Is the easiest way to start turning in that direction.
It almost feels like this is their opportunity to kind of do the Daniel Bryan thing over again, but the right way.
True. No, I agree. And I mean, the people are dictating Sami Zayn's popularity. So,
or are they going to do the stupid thing where he wins the Rumble, but he's got to put it on the line next month and puts it on the line in Montreal, and then whatever happens there happens and continue. Like,
maybe we'll get no finish between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns because of interference or whatever. And so then they'll have to decide it in a cage in Montreal. And, you know, I mean,
tonight's definitely like with all this, like this is such a huge storyline that they've built up so well for so long. I think the writers have a gigantic decision to make in all of this is the order of the matches tonight.
Oh, definitely.
Is the Rumble before or after?
It'll be the last thing. It's going to definitely be the last thing. And it'll probably be right after the heavyweight, the title, I'm guessing. I mean, they're not going to start the pay-per-view with the title. We've seen it before, but, you know, I mean, it'll get the crowd hot in the beginning if it ends in like a screw job or something, and then you'll wait the rest of the 3 hours to see who comes out in the Royal Rumble. You know, I think, you know,
is Dom going to help Rhea win the women's one, or will she win it on her own?
I don't know.
I hope he helps her. Prison Dom is awesome.
He's not my pick to win.
She's not your pick to win? No. Interesting. You know, it's like, who do they want? Is it Becky Lynch? Is it
DX Torrey?
DX
Torrey. No, it's not DX Torrey.
DX Torrey. So, yeah.
She's got to show up tonight. I'm manifesting. I know there's not much time to get her to San Antonio. I don't know what she's doing with her life these days. But Tori with an I, let's go. I don't need Tori Wilson again. DX Tori to win the Rumble. No, just to enter the Rumble. If not tonight, then 2024.
Sir. Maybe they've been holding Asuka out for a while for a reason. Who knows, you know?
Damn it, Cash.
Sorry.
My pick for the Women's Rumble is Kana.
Oh, really? Oh, going to come out doing the old thing, huh? Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, she's been healthy, just not being used, so.
She was a Triple H pick. They needed to rehab her after they ruined her. I think this is a perfect chance to reintroduce her and let her go on a tear.
Yeah, you got to think about people that are healthy that have not been used, you know? It's like, and there's a handful, especially in the women's, you know, one of the rumors is Nia Jax is coming back.
Oh, God, no. No.
Did she have to rehab her hole?
Oh, my hole.
One of the other rumors is Jay White showing up for the men's one, which really? Like, I'm fine with, but let's not.
I've heard that as well.
People are putting it out there like, oh, it'll be just like when AJ Styles debuted. Absolutely not. I'm sorry. Like, I like New Japan. I like Jay White, but don't even try to put him in the same category. You're not going to get a gigantic reaction from the Alamo Dome for Jay White like you got for AJ Styles in Philly.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Did you see the Mania by the Numbers last night? They were.
It was their weakest version of it ever.
Big time. Because the biggest thing was like Rey Mysterio was in it for 62 minutes, you know. Wow.
That wasn't the year he came in 30th and got booed.
No, that was not. That was in Philadelphia, if you remember. Where are we?
They don't ever boo anybody in Philly.
No, never. I mean, at least in San Antonio.
Let's go Niners.
You know, I wonder, you know, Shawn Michaels is San Antonio native. Are they going to push him into the Royal Rumble? You know, I hope not. Yeah. I hope not.
Those guys that are retired, let's stay retired.
Are we going to see Matt Cardona?
Let's not all pull Ric Flair.
No. Are we going to see Matt Cardona? By the way, Ric Flair, I don't even want, you know, I mean, not necessary for Raw 30th. Hulk Hogan, not necessary for Raw 30th. I'd rather watch old clips.
At least they kept their parts small. I will say that. If they're going to insist on bringing them, at least they were small parts.
Yeah, and we cut Hogan's mic off when he started talking, so it's even better. He didn't know.
The best part of the night was Erwin Arschheister.
Erwin Arschheister taking all the money off the table. Yeah, I'll give him that. You know, that was good.
Put him in the Rumble.
Stealing all Baron Corbin, Lucky Corbin's money there at the end. Why not? You know, I mean, his son's back. You know, it's like
any gambling winnings over $600, you have to pay taxes on.
Including taking all of it, as what he was doing. He was just grabbing it by the handfuls. So, yeah, who knows what? What do you guys in the chat room think is going to be a surprise tonight? I mean, you guys are all listening to us and watching us right now. Tell us, who do you think is going to pop in? And be, is Goldberg going to be part of it? There's been a lot of talk about Goldberg recently.
God, no.
He doesn't need. He won't win it. He'll just show up and get thrown out or something.
Bull.
You know what? If Gilbert's in there at the same time, and we can get like a little one-on-one.
I watched on YouTube the other day the whole Rumble, the one where Mil Máscaras shows up, and he won't let anybody eliminate him, and he eliminates himself because that made him look better.
Oh my goodness.
In his own eyes.
Yeah, and then he never worked for WWE again. Can we get
Shane McMahon back throwing potatoes against legit MMA fighters?
Oh, yeah. Remember last year? Someone had posted something online. It was the top four people in the last 15 years of the Royal Rumble. And you'd really be surprised how many times Roman Reigns was number two, the last guy getting thrown out, it was really a surprise to me because he never won it. Did Roman Reigns win it? He might have won it once, I think. It was when he got booed in Philly. It was.
He won it before, too.
Did he?
He's got two.
Okay, so here's one. Rhonda's coming back. Ira says Rhonda. So, Rhonda kind of was supposed to be wrestling on this show originally against Raquel Gonzalez, and that kind of got scrapped, I think, due to Rhonda nixing it. So Rhonda probably will be – I think she's been announced for
They wanted to bring Charlotte back earlier, too.
Yeah, and I think Rhonda – I just saw something today that they had, presented Rhonda with a couple different people to get in a series with, and she nixed it all. So it's like, okay, obviously you have that creative.
That was control. Rhonda's best match in a long time.
What, the one against Charlotte or the one against the one Gonzalez? Against... Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, it was, that's one thing I liked was, what was I seeing when there was a women's match where they kept going back to the armbar, submission this past week. I can't remember. Was it Mia Yim? Did she wrestle on TV this week? And I'm trying to remember now. Do you guys remember that? Maybe I'll think about it later. But there was a match this week where they kept. Oh, maybe it was Alexa Bliss going to the armbar on Bianca Belair over and over. And she was like tapping out even though the match was over and everything. So, and we got that match, by the way, and I'll quickly go through besides the Royal Rumble matches, this is what we're going to see on the pay-per-view tonight. Excuse me. We're going to see, of course, Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight in a pitch black match. I guess there's going to be a lot of neon lights going on. It'll be interesting. We've got Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair for the championship, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns for the championship, and then we've got the two Royal Rumbles. And we got a performance by somebody named Hardy. It's not Matt or Jeff Hardy, is it, performing? I don't know who this Hardy guy is, but he's performing a song called Sold Out. So he's doing it after his favorite NWO video game, I think. So,
and pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Sold Out was a pay-per-view, too.
Nobody's favorite pay-per-view.
No. So that's the whole
thing. That one from Cedar Rapids? No, thank you. Ugh.
Is that the one with nobody?
The hotbed of wrestling. The one where all the NWO guys lost their matches.
Yeah, so that wasn't the one that was the no crowd one, was it? Because remember they did a pay-per-view with nobody in the crowd?
This would be, Sold Out 97 in Cedar Rapids with the different NWO entrance way. It was so bad. It was so bad. Crowning a Miss NWO throughout the night. And
yeah.
Was it the one where they had the announcer dissing any non-NWO members?
Yeah, they did.
And then
Mexican jumping bean or something.
They were terrible. His entrance. Yeah, they were terrible.
And then a cameraman at ringside had a pole with a camera on it to get a higher angle the whole night. It's not good.
Bad flashbacks.
Scott Norton wrestled. Scotty Rick, yeah. I don't know how this actually came up. Talking about Sold Out 97.
Well, because the guy from named Hardy is playing a song called Sold Out tonight. We'll get a musical performance. Maybe it'll be as the women are entering to the Royal Rumble, kind of was it Kid Rock who sang when the women came out at WrestleMania?
WrestleMania 25.
Yeah, that's right. The one where they
took, the 25th anniversary.
Where they took the tag, they took the tag match off to unify the tag team belts, put that on the pre-show. So they could have Kid Rock come out and play the ladies to the ring.
And then have a man win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then have, speaking of the new authority figure in Impact Wrestling. Oh, no, the brother of the new authority figure in Impact Wrestling, Santino Marella, which I was watching this past
week. I remember Santina coming out for the Women's Rumble in Houston and just being why? This is not, those days have passed. This was a bad decision, but.
Well,
speaking of bad decisions, hopefully they're going back tonight to the old days where the Royal Rumble like helped establish guys get to the next level, and not what we had to see last year with Lesnar and Rousey winning. Like, this is the easiest way to help get somebody up to the next level. You don't need a Lesnar or an Edge to win, or like when Triple H won in 2016. Like, this is, it's a good thing for Cody or a Sammy and not many others.
Well, one good thing is Shane McMahon is not putting the match together this year. So, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
He won't be in the final four either, I'm guessing. But yeah, that's super exciting for tonight. Just off the top of our heads, might as well make our predictions while we're doing it. Danger, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going Cody and Rhea.
Okay. How about you, Rob?
Those are my exact picks. I'm not changing from, yeah.
Okay. Yep. How about you, Rob? How about you, DC?
Cody and Kana.
Okay. And for me, that's a tough one. Cody's hard to pick against, especially since last year was supposed to be the thing. And they, you know, the WWE usually doesn't cancel series due to injuries. They'll just push it off. So definitely going to go with Cody. I'm going to go with Rhea, too. I think Rhea is definitely going to be, you know, I mean, why not? She's like, you know, probably, you know, I don't know. She's like one of the best women in the company right now. I mean, a lot of people, like, you know, I mean, poor Becky's getting relinquished to the side right now. A couple of the big names, but Bianca, I think it'll be a great matchup with Bianca Belair as well. So, or if she chooses to go to against Charlotte Flair, which I think we've seen already. Didn't Charlotte Flair?
A couple times.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair cash in the Money in the Bank against Rhea Ripley?
On the NXT title.
Yeah, on the NXT title. So, and remember, they made Rhea change her looks because she looked too much like Charlotte Flair when she debuted. She had like the long blonde hair and everything, and they're both statuesque women. So,
well, she has definitely differed from that.
Oh, without a doubt, but not for the worst. I will say, I am a big Rhea Ripley.
She is now Dom's Dom.
She can be my Dom anytime. So wait a second. That didn't sound right. Let's go through some news before we get out of here. And so we got, George has got picking Cody Rhodes and Raquel Rodriguez. That's a good pick. Raquel is also another statuesque woman in the women's division. So I definitely, I don't have a problem with that pick either. We'll see where it goes. Hopefully.
Was Raquel a face? I don't even know.
She is. Yes.
I believe so.
Because she'll probably get a pretty big reaction in San Antonio then.
Is that where she's
somebody
from
the valley down there? She's from like the whole, like the valley there between like Corpus and Laredo, like a couple hours from San Antonio. But I assume they'll give her a good reaction then.
And George says Rhea is still a large part of Judgment Day. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, Rhea guarantees them a lot of wins, so. Let's go through some news before we get out of here. I have a few things I wanted to bring up. WWE Raw had a great numbers this past week. I guess it was due to the Raw 30th anniversary. And not having football opposite doesn't hurt at all either. So there was, you know, unfortunately they didn't, you know, I mean, people are going to get tired of seeing the same people. You know, you can leave the Road Dog at home. You can leave, X-Pac, but you can leave him at home too. They come out every time they do one of these get-togethers. Find some people that be more of a like, oh wow, you know, instead of those guys. So I did mention the Steiner brothers signed a Legends contract recently, and that's why we've seen Rick on you know, a few times on NXT when his son Bron Breakker, who, yeah, believe it or not, they look exactly alike. So Bron Breakker defending his title a few times, and he was in the crowd. I wouldn't be surprised to see either of those guys in the Royal Rumble. It's a possibility, you know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mentioned Nia Jax. There are rumors she's going to be popping in. I saw the story. Darby Allin was talking with a podcaster and said that he had filmed a pilot for a television show. So Darby Allin, very interesting guy, does a lot of stunt kind of, you know, skateboard things and very stunty moves and stuff. And he's been hurt quite a few times with them too. So maybe
people think he's hurt right now. I don't know if that's true, but I don't like that they're already going into a third Darby and Joe match. And if I don't know. If he's hurt, maybe that's a match to try to put the belt right back on Joe. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, what did you think about Kushida and him last week, Rob? It was a fun match.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the same thing with, like, Darby's been wrestling on, like, every show. Like, I'm over it. I am looking forward to Danielson and Thatcher this coming week for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Just coming up to the plugs, I wanted to mention that Britt Baker's injured. That's why she wasn't part of the three that way with Ruby Soho and Toni Storm this past week. Ruby Soho getting a clean win over Toni Storm. Was it a clean? Yeah, it was a clean win.
There was a distraction or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And shout out to Jamie Hayter and Emi Sakura, who nailed it in the main event of Rampage last night.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So this week on Dynamite, if you're watching, it's going to be from Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. We're going to get Danielson versus the debuting Timothy Thatcher from NOAH, I believe. That's where he wrestles in Japan right now, Timothy Thatcher.
Yep.
He was in NXT, right? I remember – was he?
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to say. He was, yeah, I definitely remember him in NXT. So that's going to be.
Him and Riddle had a really good fight that match.
Oh, that's right. They had the cage match where they had, like, the guards around the top of the cage and stuff. It was kind of weird. We got Moxley and Adam Page. That'd be their third match. So they're going to, you know, end their series of matches with one win. Got the Acclaimed against a tag team to be announced. I've always loved that one, TBA. They're one of my favorite wrestling tag teams. They go everywhere, too. AEW TNT champion Darby Allin's going to defend against ROH World Television Champion Samoa Joe in a no-holds-barred match. We got ROH...
Which is so different than all the holds that they barred in the previous matches.
I don't know. ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Champion Brian Cage is taking on Takeshita. AEW TBS Champion Jade Cargill is going against Red Velvet again to go. It looks like she'll be going
for win 50.
Yeah, for 50. I don't know how many of those are against Red Velvet. I'd like to go back and look through the list. There's a few. If you're watching, and so this week coming up on SmackDown, if you're watching it, it's from the Bond Secures Wellness Arena in Greenville, South Carolina. Is that far from you, DC?
Swamp Rabbits.
What's that? It's okay. We get the fallout from Royal Rumble. SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair is going to defend against Sonya Deville, that was set up last night. Imperium's Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser are going to take on Ricochet and Braun Strowman in the tournament finals to crown a new number one contender to the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos, for a future shot at the SmackDown Tag Team titles. And we've got, and that's it so far for this Raw or for SmackDown coming up. Some other news, Nikita Lyons from NXT apparently tore ACL and meniscus. They did a parking lot angle last week on NXT to take her out, but that's how you take people out. So she's going to be gone for a while. Vince McMahon has made his return to Titan Tower. WWE Executive Chairman Vince McMahon was spotted back at Titan Tower in Stamford, Connecticut this past week. It also appears Vince is back in his old office as well. On January 17th, WWE made a new SEC filing stating that as of January 16th, Vince McMahon no longer needs stockholder approval for his actions. Great. You might as well just, you know.
He only made that. That was the amendment. They had that before, and then he made the amendment that you needed stockholder agreement so he could block any TV deals if wasn't allowed back.
Yeah.
So he just revoked that again.
Okay, so look at that. So you think how long before he's back in the gorilla position? You know, I'm just saying. This past week, AEW Dynamite show averaged over 1 million viewers. That was up from the week before. Maybe it has a lot to do with the Jay Briscoe, video as well as the match at the end to honor Jay Briscoe's career. I hope so. Another thing, AEW this past week, Dazn, I think that's how they call it. It's like, I know it started off as an
DAZN.
DAZN?
DAZN.
DAZN. Well, I know they did MMA. I know they did boxing. And now they've signed for the rights to distribute AEW's programming to 42 markets across Europe and Asia, which is a pretty big deal. I mean, you know, now they're everyone's going to, you know, if you didn't.
It would be if it wasn't DAZN.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know. I don't know, because that maybe these 42 markets didn't have an opportunity to get these before, and now they can watch AEW. And
why does it sound like a thing from like Pizza Hut or something?
Calzone.
DAZN.
It's a Pizzone.
The writer who put out the story about WWE being sold to the Saudis.
I think. Very credible
outlet. Yeah.
Pizzone. But well, I only looked it up because AEW did put out a press release on this. So there was legitimate.
Well, they had DAZN was the ones who had all the Canelo fights for a while, and then they had a huge falling out. Because they paid him like $300 million to have the rights to his fights, and they weren't drawing anything, so they wanted to get out of that because they didn't have any money. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's good if it's open. It's opening up new markets, so that's a good thing. But DAZN is not the best.
Yeah. And if it's called if it was called Pizzone, I would think that pizza had something to do with it, but it's not. Okay. So sorry. Enough of those jokes. We'll go something else. AEW superstar and current reigning trios champion Kenny Omega is currently dealing with a visa issue, which is why we haven't seen him on weekly programming last week or two. He was forced to miss the Jay Briscoe tribute show this past Wednesday. AEW is hopeful that they can get Omega back by next week's Dynamite in Dayton, Ohio. The report says that there's no way that it's a lock, though. So, and he, we last saw him January 11th edition of Dynamite from the Kia Forum in Los Angeles, where they beat him and the Young Bucks took the title in the seventh match from the Death Triangle to capture the AEW Trios match. And he's, by the way, he's still New Japan, he's still a New Japan champion, the IWGP United States champion. That he won from Will Ospreay at WrestleMania 17, which may be the match of the year for now.
WrestleMania 17.
Sorry, Wrestle Kingdom 17. It may be.
WrestleMania 17 was so good. If you added that Omega Ospreay match to that card, whoo,
was that the one in Houston? Was that in Houston?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what. Yeah, that's the one where they had
the gimmick battle royal.
Yeah, yeah. Where the Iron Sheik
matches. Iron Sheik Rock in Austin, whatever. But
yeah, Iron Sheik took an hour to get to the ring. Half the people were eliminated.
And you weren't going
to
throw him out of the ring. Yeah. So he won it.
Yeah, he won because he couldn't go over the top rope.
Yeah.
But it also took him an hour to get there, so everyone was thrown out before he got in. So, Dragon Lee is set to make his first appearance on WWE programming this weekend. Lee has been announced for the Royal Rumble La Preview special that'll air at 1 p.m. on Saturday, which is today, via Peacock and the WWE Network, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Lee will be joined by SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair and Los Lotharios on the show. Marcel Rodriguez will host the Royal Rumble preview show. So we're going to see Dragon Lee make first appearance with WWE. I don't know if you saw this. I put this in here. It's kind of weird. But the guy who made Luchasaurus's mask is suing AEW because it's a copyrighted design. I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but they sent him another.
He's okay with them wearing the mask on TV, but as soon as they started selling merch with the mask on it, he wants it cut.
Yeah, there was there's t-shirts and stuff. And so who knows, maybe we haven't seen Luchasaurus in a while. Maybe he will come back without a mask. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. That's why
He did switch to a different mask there briefly. So maybe he's just going to switch to a different one. Cause yeah, I mean, some of the messages that came out from that of like, there's no way for Luchasaurus to get out of it at this point. Like, he knows the deal. They had the conversations about stuff. He switched to another mask. He asked another mask maker to see if they can create something like this one for him. And the other mask maker was like, but this is like a legal issue. Yeah, no. Like, so he's got it. Yeah. I don't think you're going to see Luchasaurus with that same mask again.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's about the last piece of news. We did not do the Painies last week. Do you guys remember we were going to do the Painies last week? Do you guys?
I remember. Or the 2023 ones. Yeah.
We're deep into 2023. I mean, that's what I was going to say about that match with the Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay might be the match of the year for this next year's Painies. But do we want to go through and
it
do
already
it?
Is? Yeah.
Do we want to go through and do it right now? I've got mine in front of me. Do you guys have yours in front of you?
I don't have mine in front of me.
Oh. Because DC and I decided we were going to do it this week, last week, because Danger had to run out. But okay, so we're gonna have to delay it another week. No, yes, or we just forget Danger's votes. I don't know.
What are you announcing winners or announcing
our lists, and then we'll let them kind of debate?
Okay, we can go. Okay, so what do we want to do? We want to like pick one category and just give all our votes.
Yeah,
okay.
Go for it.
Okay, let's start with Comeback of the Year. Comeback of the Year, which was one of the last ones we voted on. And I'll tell you, I voted for Mox. And I'll tell you why, because Mox had personal problems, had to take some time off last year, and then came back and was like the figurehead for AEW for the rest of the year. So that was my vote for Comeback of the Year, Mox. And I mean, I know he was with the company anyways and everything. It wasn't, you know. But I'm sorry, that's the way I'm voting. So,
no, mine was towards the end of the year. It was more of a feel good comeback than anything because she hasn't really done much as of yet. But I said Saraya.
Not a bad choice. Anyone else have any thoughts?
I'm not prepared for this.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think of who came back.
Does Cody count in terms of going back to another company? I don't know. I don't know.
It's a tough one.
So you have to side with either Cash or me.
Mox or Saraya. I'm on
Saraya.
Saraya. Okay, that's fine.
He's still undecided.
Because he's thinking that there's probably someone else out there who falls into this category.
I'm sure there is.
Go to our Facebook page and look at the post that we put up a couple weeks ago where people started putting their answers in there. And they'll give you an idea maybe who they're thinking is comeback of the year. It might give you an idea. Some other choices, I think. Well, there's a couple people who posted. But we'll hold off on that. Okay, how about moment of the year? We'll just skip to that immediately. And I, like an idiot, this is not a really great moment of the year, but it doesn't matter whether it's good or it's bad. It's kind of like the Time Person of the Year. It could be the worst dictator on the planet if they cause change and things like that, you know, and maybe the world teaming up against them. And my moment of the year is the all-out scrum with CM Punk. That's the one
that was my WTF moment of the year, not my feel-good moment of the year.
I have an answer for the first one. And okay. I'll just go with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay. But
that's a good one.
Okay. How about you, Danger? Did you pick Saraya? So there we go. Okay. So moment of the year. Anyone have one besides the all out scrum?
I said Cody leaving AEW to go back to WWE.
Yeah. I mean, I would say specifically Cody's entrance at WrestleMania gets it for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cash, I'm 2-0.
Okay, breakout of the year, Sami Zayn. That's who I picked. Breakout star of the year.
Jamie Hayter.
I was going to say, I had a male and a female. For female, I said Jamie Hayter. For male, I said Konosuke Takeshita.
Yeah. Man, I love both those wrestlers so much. Those might be my favorite men's and women's wrestlers in all of wrestling right now. Those two. So
Danger.
I think we'll split it. I think I'm gonna go with the Jamie Hayter and Sami Zayn.
Okay.
So diplomatic of you.
There you go. Promotion of the year, AEW. Sorry, it was hard for me to pick that one. I mean, if you follow the show.
I said AEW too, but I had a massive question mark next to AEW because I feel like this was kind of a flat year for everybody.
It AEW was. Still wins it for me, but it in a lot of ways it was AEW's weakest year so far. In some ways, yeah.
I agree.
Okay, event of the year, maybe pay per view or WWE live event or something. And my pick was AEW's Revolution pay per view.
That was mine as well.
Is it okay? Yeah, it was definitely a good one. I know it's tough to look that up and look at what was going, you know, because you could have been all out. A lot of people could, you know, I've seen all out picked for some people. I've seen, you know, Clash at the Castle was a big one for WWE fans.
Clash at the Castle because of the atmosphere was awesome.
How about you?
I got to think about this one for a second.
Okay. We'll go to match of the year. Match of the year, I have FTR versus the Briscoes in the dog collar match.
Yep.
Same.
It's tough to pick against a lot of – there's some good stuff out there. And Daniel Bryan – or Bryan Danielson on a weekly basis puts on great matches on TV. But that on pay-per-view, I mean, that was just bloody disgusting at times, but a great match. So, how do you think, Mr. Artiste?
I'm going to have to run a minute behind here again.
Okay.
Keep thinking.
Okay. Faction of the year. The Bloodline. That's what I put.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Same here. I had BCC in the running, but I felt like their whole like last half or quarter of the year like seemed really disjointed with everybody kind of doing their own thing, and they weren't really a faction.
Yeah, you know, and they weren't coming out with each other every time too. So, you know, I didn't understand it, you know. But I would agree. I would agree. Okay, tag team of the year. Who else but FTR?
FTR.
Yeah.
Yep.
FTR's, you know, I mean, and unfortunately, we're not going to see him again for another few months, you know. So, female wrestler of the year, I went with Bianca Belair just because they gave her the reins and she's gone a whole year with that title and put on some pretty good matches and very athletic wrestler. I know I could have gone with other companies, there's other people that, you know, but I, you know, when you're in the spotlight on, you know, WWE and on their pay-per-views and live events and stuff like that, I think that, you know, they don't do, you know, obviously someone very talented like Bianca is someone that, you know, and listen, Becky Lynch is great too. I think if it wasn't for her getting injured, I think during the year, might have gone with Becky Lynch, but I'm picking Bianca for female of the year.
Same.
Ditto.
I know you like Jamie Hayter. I know you like Jamie Hayter.
Yeah, I'm throwing her in there.
Okay.
I also feel like I'm getting these years merged or whatever, but for pay-per-view of the year, I'm going Forbidden Door.
You know what? And that was my second
one, which also could have been so much better than it was, but it's still my winner.
That was my second one, was Forbidden Door, because it was because of just, unfortunately, I mean, there was great matches. We lost Adam Cole because of that pay-per-view. But there was, you know, they just had – it was like fantasy booking, you know. It was beautiful. Wrestler of the year. Unfortunately, I don't got my WWE blinders on, but I'm going to give it to Roman Reigns because I think, you know, he plays the part perfectly that he does on TV. And I mean, and you know, even when John Cena's telling him to take kicks to the back of the head in the middle of a match, you know, so that they can end it. I just, you know, I mean, there's so many good wrestlers, you know, but I think that no one's been more valuable, I think, for a company than Roman Reigns in the past year.
Yeah. I'm going for Reigns as well.
I went with who I got the most enjoyment out of watching their matches. So for me, it was Will Ospreay.
Yeah, and I like Will Ospreay too. He's gotten so much better than when the first time I ever saw him. So,
I'm too indecisive to do this on the spot. There's part of me that, as much as I complained about him, there's part of me that wants to say Moxley, just in terms of everything he did within the year. Roman's a good choice. I just wish he wrestled more. I don't know.
It's tough.
And Omega was hurt too much of the year.
Yeah, and it's like Britt Baker.
Like Ospreay.
When the women's, you know?
Yeah. Ospreay and Orange Cassidy was last year too. Oh. Yeah.
And some people might even pick Sami Zayn because he's very instrumental in what's going on right now with, you know, but.
How many matches did he really have?
You want to call him entertainer of the year. Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe MVP or something like that, you know, or the guy, you know.
Dax Harwood's a possibility. I mean, depending on how you want to hit some really good singles matches and a lot of really good tag matches. I'll go with Dax Harwood. Let's just do that.
Okay. I think that's the last category. Was there, do we have a WTF moment of the year? I don't know. I didn't put it down.
Mine was the all out scrum because God damn.
It's hard. I gave that as the moment of the year, but it also works as the WTF moment of the year too. I mean,
my moment of the year is Tony Khan deciding to get rid of the word interim.
Does that mean
maybe
when it comes
not,
back
maybe not for real, but I was very,
when it comes back this year, it gets the comeback award.
Interim title removed.
Comeback of the year. Interim.
Oh, interim champion of the year.
Okay. I don't know. I think that does our awards there. Moxley did carry the interim title, AEW championship title a couple times. Twice this year. So, well, and you know, he did, I don't know. There's so much. Yeah, it was so many different things happened this year. Nothing was consistent for the full 12 months. So you got to look at like a full 12 months of somebody. That's why I picked Roman Reigns, at least wrestler of the year. Cause it's like from the beginning to the end, he's pretty much, And he plays his part perfectly, you know, the character he created as like the Godfather or whatever. Hopefully it leads to him versus The Rock at WrestleMania, and maybe we see The Rock tonight. I don't know. We guys want to say
as long as there's no title on the line.
Yeah, I'll take that. So is there anything else we want to say before we get out of here?
If Rock's there and wins the Rumble, another wasted Rumble.
Yeah, it would be tough to do that. It would be great for him. Maybe to cause Roman to lose by coming out, you know, or something. Maybe it bumps into him backstage during the day, and then he comes out and he wants to be part of Roman's bloodline, you know, the head of the table. Who knows? I don't know. There's a lot of answers that are going to be solved tonight with the Royal Rumble. And we've got great AEW Dynamite this week, too. I mean, I think, you know, they seem to put on the best shows after WWE as, like, instrumental, you know, in carrying forward storyline events. And I think that Tony Khan's good at definitely programming a show against, if he was up ahead against him, it would be a good show to probably possibly even take away viewers. But I think he puts on a good show every time WWE has one of these big events. So kudos to him and everything, but let's get out of here. We got to do our
game. I narrowed down my match of the year once.
Okay. What'd you think?
Real quick.
Okay.
And Orange and Ospreay was in mind, as was Ospreay and Okada. I have to mention that Hangman and Danielson match, the long one from Dynamite early in the year. But I'm going to go actually with the first of the trilogy matches between FTR and the Briscoes. I think I'm one of the few people that I love all three matches, but the dog collar was actually not my favorite of the three. So
interesting. Okay. Okay, nothing wrong with that. It was a great rivalry this past year, and you know, some, you know, in hindsight, it'll be the last tag. If they win like the tag match of the year or whatever, it certainly is well deserved. So let's get out of here. We got to do our gambling, so we'll do that off the live of off this because of course it's Royal Rumble weekend, and we will see you all. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Rob. And thank you, guys, who are in the chat room. We couldn't do it without you.
Thank you, Jamie Hayter.
Thank you, Jamie Hayter. Thank you, poor Orange Cassidy. He got most of my votes last year, and I didn't vote for him once this year. But, you know, maybe that shows you kind of what happened with the booking and everything. But we'll see you same bat time, same bat channel, same bat place next week right here.